How involved are we in the lives of each other? How involved are we in our relationship with God Himself, even with the Son and the Holy Spirit? Fellowship is not what we do over in a room when we get together and eat, and fellowship is not what we do when we take a trip together. Fellowship, that is only a part of it, because fellowship is on a much deeper level. We're going to look at two major aspects of fellowship that the Bible talks about, and then we're going to look at what that fellowship produces this morning. So look with me again at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, where it says, "That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And even in that context, you're shown two different levels of fellowship. It's fellowship with the disciples, fellowship with John, but also fellowship with the divine. So this morning I want to take some time to talk about divine fellowship and what that looks like and what that entails for us, but also at the human relationships that we have. The Greek word koinonia is the word from which we get fellowship. It literally means a partnership or participation in. I want you to think about that. When we are in partnership, we come together to work together, to believe together, to perform together, to share together. We are in partnership not with just what comes at the end, but in the daily interactions of our lives. It is the same word which King James translation translates communicate, our communion, our distribution. It involves that intimacy of exchange between people that is a special relationship. And in fact, it involves that relationship we have with God. Nelson's Bible Dictionary gives this definition. When he says sharing things in common with others, in the New Testament, fellowship has a distinctly spiritual meaning. So while we could talk about fellowship in a lot of ways, we want to think about a spiritual fellowship today. It can be used in a positive sense or a negative sense, and like have no fellowship with those things that have to do with darkness, but we're not going to look at the negative day, we're going to look at the positive. Believers have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, as we've already said, as well as with other believers. The only reason why we dare to have fellowship with God in the sense that the sharing of things in common is that He has raised our status through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What believers share in common with God is relationship, as well as God's holy character. Those who have fellowship with Christ should enjoy fellowship with other believers. Think about that holiness that we ought to be a participant in, that we ought to share in the holiness that comes from the sacrificed Son of God. Think about what a level of responsibility that places upon us. In fact, as I read our text today, it seems to me that there is a great indication that in order for us to have the kind of fellowship we need with each other, we first have to have that fellowship which is of a divine nature and which is with God in the first place. Your relationship with people cannot be right until your relationship with God is right. You can't treat people the way that God wants you to treat people until you understand how God treats you, for He so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son to die in your stead. And we need to understand that fellowship with the Father is an imperative. Fellowship with the Son is not questionable, and fellowship with the Holy Spirit is demanded and commanded. Verse 3 said, again, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, and of course with the Holy Spirit. So how do you share? How do you participate in a relationship with God? Well, in the first place, you were made and created in the likeness and in the image of God. And whether we always do it right or not, we tend to go to those things that are similar to what we are. And God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we need to be spiritual people in order to have the kind of relationship with God that He wants us to have. In Philippians chapter 2, the first few verses, the Apostle Paul writes, he says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy." So I want to think about this idea of any fellowship with the Spirit. What do you spend your time doing? Well, some people, depending on where you are in life, spend your time going to school. Some people go to work. Some people go to ball games. Some people go to recitals. Some people go to band concerts. How much of your pursuit of your fellowship is in spiritual matters? I'm not suggesting that we can become so holy that we're no earthly good because we have to share that spiritual with those who've never heard of Jesus. But if I were to ask you to take, for instance, your calendar and begin to look at your calendar, and you were to write down all the things you did, all the time you spent in the past week, how much of it would be with your physical life and fellowship rather than your spiritual pursuit of God? I'm not even talking about what we do in this building. That's good and that's fine, and it is indeed fellowship, and we've come to worship Him, and I don't want to take away any bit from that. I'm not suggesting that, but I am suggesting, how spiritual are we on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? How much participation do we have? One of the things that just drives me crazy, and I realize some of you have been wondering about that, what drives me crazy, is why God's people don't want to have fellowship with God and with one another. You say, well, Keith, that's a harsh judgment. You know, I've noticed a steady decline in Sunday school attendance and worship attendance, Sunday night attendance and Wednesday night attendance. I've noticed a steady decline in the participation with each other in the study of God's Word, in the fellowship of the saints that meet, even in this congregation. My challenge is not do we need less time together, but do we need more time together to encourage one another, to be encouraged, to reach out to one another? Are we seeking to be closer to God or further from God? And when it comes to assembling in His house, come to study, our Sunday school classes ought to be running over in the other building. We ought to be looking for more rooms to put children in rather than looking for children to put in the rooms. I suppose it's true that that should be the same for our adult classes as well. Turn with me over to John chapter 17. Jesus is going to be praying in John chapter 17. It is one of His most intimate prayers. It's shortly before His death. And it's a prayer that draws me to it time after time because it's a prayer where He talks about all those who believe on Me through the words of the apostles and Scripture. Which if I read that right, it's a prayer for me then. And it's a prayer for you. Verse 21 is down into the prayer, the body of the prayer. And Jesus is praying about relationship of His disciples. And He says that relationship ought to be similar to the relationship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Read with me if you will. He says, and I pray that they may be all one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I am You, that they may be one in Us. It's important to understand as He begins His prayer that He says, fellowship comes by being together in Christ, in relationship with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And then He goes on to say that they may be one in Us, that the world might believe that You've sent Me. The world will never believe as long as Christians are divided, as long as we're not really dependent upon one another, as long as we're not sharing in faith and in our lives and the practice of our faith and the practice of our daily living. The world's going to look at us and look at our behavior and say, well, if Christianity is about not speaking to each other and going out the other door and not caring with one another. Yesterday, I was involved in the funeral service of a dear, dear friend. And I'll be honest with you, it's one that caused me to struggle more than most any I've ever done, and I've done hundreds of services. When I stood up to speak, I said, brethren, I may cry, and I may laugh. The Bible says we're supposed to weep together, and we're supposed to rejoice together. So if I start crying, you can cry with me. And when we remember those happy times, we can rejoice together. I don't think that's a scripture that's supposed to be used just at a funeral. I think it's supposed to describe our relationship with one another. And our relationship is indeed fellowship. He goes on to say that the world might believe that You sent Me, and the glory which You gave Me, I have given to them, that is, His disciples, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them and You and Me, and that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. Father, I desire also that those whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which You have given Me. For You loved Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known You, but I have known You. And these have known You that You sent Me. Now look at verse 26 when He says, and I declare to them Your name, and I will declare it, that the love which You have loved Me may be in them and I in them. He's saying we need that divine fellowship, and he prays to the Father. He knows his time on earth is limited. He knows that he's fixing to be gone, and when he's gone, he's prayed that the Spirit, the Comforter, might be with them. But his prayer is that they might be one, that they might be in fellowship, that they might be joined together, that they might be partners, sharing and participating in this great faith that we have. And if you read the passage closely, you'll understand that all of that fellowship is only possible by the right relationship with the Father. That Jesus says, as thou art in me and I in thee. And if we ever want to make an impression on the world, it's going to be because we have fellowship with the Father. But the second aspect is one that sometimes we know intellectually, but we don't know in practice. For he says that we should have human fellowship, joint participation. As the body of Christ, we ought to be connected. We ought to be participants in each other's lives. And I want to spend a few minutes looking at Scripture. Back to our text in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. He says, you may also have fellowship with us. Verse 7 says that we have fellowship one with another, that the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to think, you don't have to physically turn and look, but at least mentally turn and look and say, who do I have fellowship with? Who do I share with? And this congregation has a lot of fellowship one with the other, and a lot of people who love each other, and a lot of people who care for each other, and some people who haven't quite made it into the relationship that God intends for them to. Now that's a two-sided proposition. First, you have to be friendly to have a friend. That's Proverbs. You must first show yourself friendly. But then some of us need to step out of our comfort zone and say, I need to let you know that I care about your life. I need you to know that I care about your soul. I need you to know that I care about your children. I need you to know that I care about your parents. I need you to know that I care about your struggle. I care about what... I might not can fix it at all, and I may not can make all the changes that need to be made, but we'll go in this together. Not because I think you're so good or nice or rich or poor or whatever it is, but because we are bound together in Christ Jesus. I care about you. I have fellowship with you. Amos said in the Old Testament, chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? We've got to come together. We've got to make purposeful attempts at having human fellowship. When it comes to Vacation Bible School, are we in or are we out? As I've mentioned already, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, are we in or we out of fellowship? Someone says, well, I'm there in spirit. Well, bring your body with you. It's a lot easier to have fellowship when you're actually there. Well, I'm busy. Too busy for the one who died for you? Too busy for the one who shed his blood for you? We're all busy, but we all make choices about where we are and whose we are and how we'll respond and what relationships are important. And those relationships that are bought with blood are highly important. And this one was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's what binds us together. Do you realize that in the beginning of time, that God recognizes that we were made for fellowship? Back in the book of Genesis, you remember how God created on day one and it was good, and day two it was good, and day three it was good, and day four it was good, and day five it was good. And on day six he said, it's not good that man should dwell alone. Therefore I will create for him a helpmeet. And in day six God said, man needs relationship, which is fellowship. And he created the first family. But God wants us to be in relationship with him, which is fellowship with the Father. And if we've got the right fellowship with the Father, we are the family of God, and we ought to have and we ought to weep together when we weep, and we ought to rejoice together when we rejoice. We ought to worship together when we come together in His name. I do not understand how people want less fellowship with God's people. I cannot understand that we've got this idea many times that there's this minimal amount of fellowship that I can stand, and I'll come together on Sunday morning, sometimes just at the worship hour. We need each other to be strengthened in faith. We need each other to be strengthened in life. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 begins, says, two are better than one. Fellowship is better than non-fellowship. Relationship is better than non-relationship. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift him up, lift his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. You see that we need each other? That's what fellowship is about. Again, if two lie down and they will keep warm, but how can one be warmed alone? Although one can be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I like the concept that we're beginning to say, more relationship is better relationship. A threefold cord is tougher to break than a one cord of string. So it goes from two to three. And when you look at the body of Christ, we ought to be in fellowship, caring with each other, instead of tearing each other. We ought to be building and not destroying. We were made for fellowship, for participation in each other. I'm not talking about being busybody in other men's lives. In fact, the Bible warns against that. I'm talking about being present in one another's life. I'm talking about sharing because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that makes a difference in my life and my world. I'm talking about I care about you and you care about me because we share the blood of Jesus. One of the hardest things for me to do in the last 22 years living in this town is to explain to people that I'm not related to the rest of the Ellises. Everybody will say, do you know Joel? I said, yes, I know Joel. Are y'all related? You know Tim? Are y'all related? You know Jim? Are y'all related? You know David? Are y'all related? You know what I finally started saying? We're blood related by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not worried about our DNA, but I'm most proud to share the blood of Jesus Christ who washed your sins away in mine. In fact, somebody asked me the other day and I started explaining, finally just said, oh, he's my brother. And he is. And that goes for the Reynolds or the Jennings or anybody that's not named Ellis too. We participate in each other's lives. And that is what human fellowship is. And it's based upon our relationship with God that puts us in an intimate relationship. Yesterday at Caitlin's funeral, I shared the thought that somewhere along the line, those kids have been going with us to Camp Wiregrass for so long. And they've been with us since before they were born. Their parents were there before they were married. And somewhere along the line, all those kids started calling me Uncle Keith. I don't know why. I've never challenged it. And so one day they ran into my daughter and her daughters in Greenville, Alabama. And these children start talking about Uncle Keith, and they finally decided that Uncle Keith and Papa were the same person. And they said, Mama, are they our cousins? And Jan started to try to explain, and it wasn't going well. So she finally just said, oh, yeah. You see, we're joined by the blood of Christ. And that's the fellowship that we have. That's the fellowship that we have one with another. The Bible, our text, talks about those results of having Christian fellowship. I'll take you back to our reading in 1 John chapter 1, starting about verse 6 this time. John is writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Skip on down to verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light, as his in the light, we have fellowship. I think there's a hint there of this immediate relationship. If I'm walking in the light, God is the light. If I'm walking with God, I have fellowship with God. And if you're walking with God and you're walking in the light, you have fellowship with God. And if we have fellowship and we're walking in the same lifestyle, then we have fellowship one with the other. I think that he's saying our fellowship with each other really is highly dependent upon our relationship and our fellowship with God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in him, that is Christ, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Once our sins are forgiven, we can be united in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We were called to be in this holy relationship, this koinonia. This participation. In 1 Corinthians 6, he talks about our condition before we put on Christ. He talks about how some were extortioners, and he goes through this whole list of sinful behaviors. And he says, and such were some of you. Some of you were in this lifestyle. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. What he's saying is we used to have sin that separated us, but because of the blood of Christ, we've been united in relationship and in fellowship. There's some facts about fellowship that I hope you're able to understand and begin to think about, but here's what I really want you to understand. You can't have true fellowship without being right with God. Jesus said, there's no other way to the Father but by me. Don't be surprised that you must be born again. Born of the water and the Spirit, baptized into Jesus Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. For when your fellowship with God is correct, your fellowship with the faithful also begins to grow. Some of you know how important that fellowship is in your life. And some of you have not ever begun to taste the graciousness of really being part of the family of God that has the fellowship that God wants us to share in our lives, where we can encourage one another and go to heaven. This morning, as we close this lesson, it's appropriate that we say that if you're not a Christian, why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? If you believe that He is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of sins, confess His name, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Raise up to walk in a new life and be faithful so that heaven can be your home. And if you fall away, come home. The songwriter says, Jesus is tenderly calling. But the bottom line is you must decide for yourself. Are you in the right relationship with Christ this morning? And what are you willing to do to make that so? If we can help, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?